We are blessed once again as we have come into the 12th month of this 2019.
Yes.
And it seems like it crept up on us.
Yes, it did.
But lo and behold, it is here.
Yes, yes Lord.
Amen. So we take time this time of year to look at things pertaining to the first advent of Christ.
Oh, no.
We celebrate this time of year as we see the world slipping further and further away from
all
the central meaning of the season. They like the sales and the gifts and the, all that stuff, the parties and all the kind of things that people do this time of year, but they forget about the reason for the season many times. Amen. And so we talk about the season throughout the year. Around here, we like to keep our stuff. As y'all know, I make up a word every now and then. I don't know if it's made up or not, but I don't hear it very often. We try to operate in Christocentricity around here. That's keeping Christ in the center of everything. It's a little bit more. It's way more powerful than electricity.
Yes, it is.
It's Christocentricity. Amen. And we want to make sure we keep the main thing the main thing.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. So we're going to look today. These are some very popular verses. Most of the time, you know these verses because they're heard very often, especially during this season of the year. And this is, of course, from the book of Isaiah, chapter number 9, verses 6 to 7. This is probably one of the most famous greeting card verses that you may see around this time of year. It's very popular there, but it has a lot of spiritual weight, and we want to take a look at that today in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 from the Old Covenant. And then the New Testament, we will take a look in Matthew chapter 2, another very popular text around Christmas time. Amen. And we know Christmas is just a few days away. We can start marking them off now. It's gotten into the first, so 24 more days. Amen. It'll be up on us. That means 23 shopping days for y'all who care. Neither case, but we put that to the back burner. But for this morning, let's read. If you want to read with me, you can stand if you're able. If you're not, we understand. And I always say I don't put a lot of emphasis on necessarily just standing because the word is going forth. Because if you did, you'd have to stand up the whole message. Because I'm going to be in the word.
All right.
Through the whole message. So you just have to stay standing. But that's okay. We'll do it. It's kind of a tradition. But I'm not going to leave the word. I'm going to be in it. The whole thing. But either case, let us read Isaiah 9 and 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. That's the Old Testament scripture of God to the people of God. And now for the New Covenant scripture, Matthew 2 and 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And Herod the king had heard these things. He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of people together, he demanded of them where the Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. We have read Matthew 2, the first 9 verses. May God add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his holy word. You may be seated in the sanctuary. And we want to use for a topic for our message, promises and purposes of the King. Promises and purposes of the King. Amen. This text that we mentioned here in the book of Isaiah is very familiar. This time of year, it seems to be probably mentioned perhaps more than any other time of the year, although it is a profound piece of scripture. It says here, just as we have just read, for unto us a child is born. Now, this is written like 500 years before the birth of Christ by the prophet Isaiah. And he says that not only is a child, notice this child is born unto us. Mm-hmm. A child is born. In other words, he's coming into the world, a regular child, just like any other child.
Right.
In that sense, and he will be born. And unto us he will be a son, it tells us here in the second part of the verse. Yeah. And he is given here. In other words, he becomes a gift who is given. And then about this child, when we look at that, it's astonishing because just those first two portions are exactly what God had promised in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, when he spoke to the serpent and he said, upon your belly shalt you go, and dust shalt you eat all the days of your life. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise you on the head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Mm-hmm. Let you know that the child being born of the woman would be a male child.
Yes.
And so here we get more information hundreds of years later, probably thousands of years by now, from Isaiah the prophet about 500 years before the birth of Christ, that unto us a child is born. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, he's still speaking in prophecy because this child has not yet been born. So this is adding to the promises that God has made. That's why our message title is Promises and Purposes of the King. So this child would be born. He's the one that had been promised also during the reign of King Ahaz back in chapter 7. In this same book, he told him that, behold, the Lord himself shall give you a sign, Ahaz. Isaiah 7:14, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And so now he's adding on to that promise and that prophecy here in chapter 9, saying, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. Now it goes on to tell us more about this child. It says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. In other words, this child is going to have the power of government. The government of God will rest upon him, is what that says as we read on through. And it says his name shall be called Wonderful. That's how we know.
Yes.
This child is going to be called Wonderful Counselor, even the Mighty God. Now that gives it messianic implication.
Oh,
because
yes.
Not only is he a child and a wonderful counselor, and not only will he be in high authority in government, but he will also be the Mighty God. That lets you know God the Son, as it is mentioned in this text, is God.
That's right. Amen.
The Mighty God. Notice this, the Everlasting Father. That lets you know about the oneness of the Son.
Yes.
And the Father.
Yes.
And we'll see more on that. He's also the Prince of Peace.
Prince of Peace.
Now you say, well, how can you be the Prince and be the Wonderful Counselor and the Mighty God and the Everlasting Father? And be a child and a son all at the same time. That's fascinating, isn't it?
Yes, boy, it is.
There's a lot bound up in this child, whoever it is. That's why they said, what child is this? Somebody wrote a song.
Yeah.
This child is going to be born with all these accolades that are listed here and have been spoken through the prophets by the promises of God throughout the generations from Moses clear through to Malachi. And here we are looking at this child. He is called the Prince of Peace. Now, think about that. The term prince makes us think about the term king, because you cannot have a prince without a king. And the prince is basically the son of the king.
That's right.
So this child's got a lot of load on his name here, as you can see. Somebody wrote a song, "What Child Is This?" This is the child who comes to be known as the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and he is also the Son who is given. Notice that. Now that speaks of his death and the sacrifice that he gave in order to pay the wages for sin, or actually to receive the wages for sin, was heaped up on him, and he tasted death for every man. That's what the word tells us.
Yes.
And so we see this child is quite a really complex child to have all of this up on him. And he has done this for who, it says here in verse 6, unto us.
Unto us.
I get excited about that. Unto us a child is born. Unto us. See that?
Yes.
A son is given. So God did this for who? For us.
Yes.
And the government shall be, that's future, up on his shoulder. That time has not come to pass yet. Let me tell you in this verse that there's a lot of history of promises that God made. And there's also a lot of prophecy of what God will do in the future. This is one of the good texts you can look at to understand that when God speaks, he speaks from eternity. He's talking about the whole finished thing when he speaks. That's why when you read the Bible, you may not get it everything out of it, but you keep on getting something out of it. Every time you read it again, you understand more about it. Why? Because God is maturing his children to understand more about his word. And it has nothing to do with what he said, because he spoke out of eternity, and in his mind it's already done.
Yes.
So this is how when you and I listen to the word of God, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So God is increasing your ability to hear his voice speak from on high from eternity. That's why the Bible was finished penning. In other words, there was not another word added for 2,000 years. Because God's done. He said, I said everything I need to say. Now this time he's speaking 500 years before Messiah came into the flesh. Keep in mind, Messiah always existed.
Yes.
God had promised to send the Son in eternity before he made the world.
Yes.
Or before he created anything. There was a face-to-face conversation between the Father and the Son.
Yes.
And we see that later on in the scripture. We won't open that can of worms today. But let us see that in this verse, there's a lot of human history covered that, even though it hasn't happened yet, it's still a promise, but it's for the purpose of God. God had something he was trying to complete, and he's letting his people in on what he's thinking. You and I are being let in on what God was thinking before Jesus was born.
Wow.
Unto us, the prophet writes, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. And the government, now this is future. This hasn't happened yet. Because when Jesus came, he didn't overtake the government.
Nope.
He didn't rule in the whole world. He occupied a small little bit in Israel, a little place there. They say he traveled less than any of the apostles. They all traveled multiple times further than he went. He stayed right around there in the promised land, if you will. Because everything he needed to do would be completed in the land of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, he has not sat upon the throne of his father David officially to rule for all of time, although the prophecy says that he will.
Yes.
There's coming a day when he will be enthroned in power over the whole world. And he is the king that God has promised. Keep this in mind. God always wanted to be man's king.
Yes.
You see, when man needed a king, at first he made Adam the king of the world.
Mm-hmm.
He gave him everything, put him in dominion over everything.
Yeah.
And then Adam blew it. He mortgaged the whole earth and the creation to the devil.
Yep. Yeah.
Because he sinned and disobeyed God. And so, in some sense, Adam could have been considered as the king of the world. He gave him dominion over everything, right? He was in charge. I put you in the garden and I give you dominion over the whole creation. Have you ever thought of that?
Mm-hmm.
And so he messed it up, we know, long story short. And since that time, human government was given after the flood in Genesis 9 and 6, which parallels Isaiah 9 and 6. God said there that if man sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God created he man.
Yep.
See? So he gave man governmental authority. But what we see here is the prophecy or the promise that this child who is going to be born, this son who will be given, that speaks of his death, will be in charge of the governments of the world. That's why in Revelation there's a verse that says, and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall rule and reign forever and ever.
Yes.
See? And that time is coming. It's yet future. But notice what he says here. The government shall be future upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful.
Yes.
Counselor.
Yes.
The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. See that?
Yes.
So we know who this child is. And the Prince of Peace. Why is he a prince? Because he's the son of the great king. The King of Kings. And he is a prince because the prince succeeds to the throne basically when the king is done with his reign. Now notice this, in verse 7 talks about the extent of his government. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. This is an eternal kingdom and system of government.
Amen.
Upon the throne of David. Now David has been long gone by the time the days of Isaiah have come, and upon his kingdom, but God promised David. See, that's why this is called the promises and the purposes of the king.
Yes.
Even though David is long dead and in his grave by the time Isaiah writes, he promised the seed of David will continue to be upon the throne of God, that David would not lack anyone to be upon his throne. And it says here, upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, notice this, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. But this is an eternal kingdom. And how will this happen? Summarized in a few words, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So it's a promise from God that the seed of David, who will be a child that's born to us and given for us, shall rule in the government. So this is a messianic promise of Jesus the Messiah. And it tells you that not only is he a son and a child, but he's also the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, and the Everlasting Father. So there's a lot of load in these verses as far as the promise of God and the purposes of the king. Now keep this in mind. As we look here, we can see that there is veiled a thin thread throughout the Old Testament of prophecies about the coming king, who is the victor over the false king, who is the devil. Now keep this in mind, who stole the authority of Adam, whom God had given dominion over all the earth through the introduction of sin and disobedience. This new king, his name is Jesus the Christ. In the Hebrew, that's Yeshua the Mashiach. I wrote that on your paper. You don't have to worry about trying to say it. But that's it. Yeshua the Mashiach, he is the Messiah. Jesus the Messiah. Some people pronounce it Yeshua.
Yeah.
But we see that there, and I wrote it so you could get a sense of how it looks. Who is the King of Kings? And he is the Lord of Lords.
Yes.
So God had promised that I will reset everything and fix everything that was broken by the fall of Adam, who fell into sin, through my son, when the fullness of time is come. So now this all converges right on the Christmas story as we know it. And so we see the first prophecy about it here from the book of Matthew, as Matthew, one of the 12, records what happened and how this was perceived when Messiah was born. We know our calendar lets us know it was about 2019 years ago when Jesus was born. The time that we keep right now is based on the time of his birth. So we've been counting down since his birth. And we believe it's accurate within about 4 years, plus or minus. We're not 100% sure. That's one of the reasons Jesus said it's going to be like a thief in the night. If they didn't start keeping a good track of time, so that's the reason why there's any discrepancy. It has nothing to do with God's promise or his provision. He provided what he said right at the time he promised it. But man was the one sluggish about starting to count the time. So that's why there's a discrepancy of a possibility of 4 years, one way or the other. So some people say Jesus was born in 4 BC. Others say he was born right around the time from 2000, we would call it, which is the middle day from then up till now. So there's a plus or minus 4 years, but that's man's fault, not God's. God's clock is right on schedule. You don't have to worry about it. Every second is accounted for. And eventually there will be no more time. Time will go away. Time is a provision for the earth. And basically God's going to remove time, and we won't need time anymore when there's an eternal state. See, God has always been in eternity, and everything in time exists within him. That's why Paul, the apostle, said that in him we live and move and have our being. See, in Acts 17, because God is eternal. And so that's why it also says in the Psalms that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. So we don't perceive that God is slow about doing what he promises. You see, but he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. And so here we see what happened when Jesus showed up on the scene, Matthew 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. These people show up, these foreigners, Persian kings, come in on horseback. Now, people said there was three, but we know there were just three gifts. We don't know, probably 3,000. We don't know how many showed up. The Bible doesn't say. You know, but we sing the song, "Oh, we three kings of Oriental." I'm not going to entertain you with that this morning. But we talk about the three gifts, the frankincense, the gold, and myrrh. And they say it's three because of that. But don't let that stick in your head, because there's no Bible to support it other than the three gifts. So we don't know how many. There could have been 300 or 3,000 riding in. It was a big scene. The king said, "Whoa, where are these coming from?" You know, he didn't know. It shocked him because he was not even supposed to be the king. Herod usurped the throne. He was not even in the line of David. See, but he had been given the throne by Rome, who had taken over and allowed Israel to come back and inhabit the land after they had been cast out in the Babylonian captivity. See, and so they put Herod over them. He was not of the seed of David or the house of David at all, but he was on the throne. So you understand when you read this, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. They call magi, that's what the word is that they translate wise men, saying, "Where is he that is born the king of the Jews?" Boy, that flipped his wig when he heard that. What, born the king of the Jews? How does that work? Because he knew he had been given the job by Caesar. "For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Here they come talking about, "We're going to worship this king." Well, hey, y'all haven't been doing me like that. I'm up here, and what's up with this? You going to worship him? You know, I'm the king. Did you miss that? You know, and they came asking, "Where is he? We know, surely you must know about this." We know about it all the way from Persia, where we came from. So when Herod heard these things, verse 3, he was troubled. Notice this, and all Jerusalem with him. The people who should have been looking for Messiah, that understood the scripture, they were troubled too. Well, what does this mean? Born the king of the Jews? And probably the folks like Simeon and Anna, who knew they were looking for the consolation of Israel, they probably wondered, haven't you folks read your Bibles? Right. Haven't you been paying attention to the scripture? Haven't you heard the promises of the king? Don't you know the purposes of the king? But all these people were troubled. That makes you see how easy it is for a public mindset to drift you off of the things of God. Black Friday and all kind of mess stuff, and make you not think about what the season is about. This is about the birth of Messiah, the king, the prince. He's the prince now because he's going to be enthroned to be the king when that time comes. So Jerusalem was worried, along with Herod, who was not even supposed to be in the palace. You see that? And so then he goes on to say, "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, he demanded of them, where should the Christ be born?" He didn't know about this. See, they hadn't been teaching him either. Said something about us being fearful about approaching politicians. We need to be telling them the gospel. They need to understand what the truth is, but we sometimes are reluctant to do so. So he calls all of them together. Y'all supposed to be the religious folks. What's up with this Christ, this Messiah that these folks are coming here to worship? And you mean tell me he got a star? What kind of deal is this? He must be a bad dude. How are you going to have a star? And we talk about you got a, an Escalade. Well, this dude had a star. That don't mean nothing. Well, what? You got a star? What kind of dude are you? Scared of you. He started checking him out. Now I want to know, what do the scriptures say about this Messiah? Where should he be born? And they said unto him in Bethlehem. Now they're studying their Bible instead of being fearful. For thus it was written by the prophet. Now they go dig up the scriptures they should have known. And then they quote the scripture from Micah chapter 5 and verse 6. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Now y'all know what the prophet said. Now you know Isaiah said the child would be born, the son would be given. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently, what time did that star appear? Just tell me exactly when was that you saw that star? You know, now he wants to backtrack and try to, he's doing his police work to see can he stamp out Jesus
right.
from taking his job.
Right.
You see, he was more concerned about his job than his soul.
Right.
It's amazing. A lot of folks are more concerned about their job than their soul. So we got to watch that one. So he calls and asks, and then he sent them to Bethlehem. He said, well, y'all following the star, go ahead on. And search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Bring the army and the sword and whatever I got. I'm going to worship him till he don't exist no more. Probably what he's thinking. You see. But y'all go over there and find out and come back and let me know. And so when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. So they were guided by a star. Y'all talking about own star in your car. They had navigation back then.
Right.
And they were able to go right to the place where the Messiah was there. See, we thought own star was a new thing. The wise men had it on their camel back then. Oh, yes. But this was like much more, of course, stellar. Far more powerful.
All right.
You see what I'm saying? But they were guided right to the spot where he was. So Herod the king was not a true heir of the throne, but was appointed by the Roman authorities to rule over Israel at the time of the first advent of Messiah. Jesus, who was born the king of the Jews, you see that statement in Matthew? This was a great disturbance to Herod, who was just another usurper of the throne of Israel, which is why he unsuccessfully tried to destroy Jesus, just as the prophets had written. See, God had even written down that they will try to destroy him when he comes. That Rachel will be, there'll be lamentation and woe because Rachel mourning for her children because they are not. See, God wrote it down. He knew what was going to happen. And folks who knew the scripture knew that's what it was. Because Herod sent out an edict and said, kill every child 2 years old and under, all the male children, kill them all, make sure we get him. And he sent out the army to just run a spear through everybody's baby.
Yep.
Think about that. But he missed Jesus because God told him, told his mother and father, take him out, go out another way to Egypt. He sent the wise men out another way. Told them, don't go back and tell him anything. Once he determined they weren't coming back, then he went out, sent out an edict, destroy every child, 2 years old and younger. Make sure we get him. Ain't going to be no other king up in here. You see, so we know what was on his mind by his reaction. And so that's what Herod did. And so primarily the long delay of the second advent of the king, which is where we are now, we're waiting on him, is for many reasons, but
yes,
primarily to give the church time to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, to every human being, because it is not his desire that any should perish. God has given me and you time to evangelize the world, along with the rest of the church, the called out ones. But all the people everywhere should accept his free gift of salvation by grace alone through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the child of promise, and the restorer of the kingdom to the believing seed of Adam. That's who you and I would be. We are the believing seed of Adam.
Amen.
Everybody is in Adam, or you're in Christ.
Right.
You can be purchased out of Adam by the blood of Jesus, by faith.
Yes.
If you believe Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead, that's what makes you redeemed.
Amen.
So this child is a redeemer. He's a wonderful counselor because he takes you into his personal class to train you by his Holy Spirit to understand things in the Spirit. so that you can understand history and everything in your life in view and in light of what God is doing in eternity. So considering all this, you ought to be saved right now.
Yes.
Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise, and he is the King of Kings.
Amen.
And the promises have come through many generations of prophets, and the promise of God is whosoever believes in the Son of God shall not be put to shame. See, whoever does not believe, we can flip that around, will be put to shame. It'll be a shame and a scandalous and a disgrace.
Yes. Yes.
As my auntie used to say, it's a scandalous and a shame. And that's what it'll be if you try to show up before God without the covering of Jesus Christ. Amen. God has freely offered it to the world. He said, whosoever will, makes no difference what nation, kindred, tribe, or tongue, or people you come from. Because all of them will be coming. John said, I looked and I saw a number so great that no man could number. Coming up from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people who have trusted in Jesus the Messiah for their salvation. He is the dividing point between the saved and the lost.
Amen.
You either trust him and you're saved, and you believe God raised him from the dead. Either that or you don't.
Amen.
So it don't make no difference. The devil's so confused, he calls it by hundreds and thousands of different religious names. But every one of them will take you to hell. There's one way to be saved.
One way.
That's why Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me.
Yes.
See, you're either gathering with me or you're scattering abroad. You're working with the devil. You can call it whatever you want. Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, whatever you want. If it's not God's son, crucified, buried, and risen, the son that is born, the child that is born, the son that is given, no one else can save you. And that's what we want to make black and white clear.
Amen.
It's not politically correct what I just said. I might get bad email because of what I just said. But that's okay. I just want to make sure that I'm clear. If you write me bad email, you understood me then. You understood what I said, and I meant it. So go ahead and write. I'm going to write you back. Jesus loves you. Trust him alone. Nobody else can save you. And he wants to save you. All this he's done is for you. Whoever you are. See? So if you don't trust him, you ought to. Let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, your only son, we come at this time, Father, to invite him afresh into our own lives. And Father, we thank you that you made your word so crystal clear that we understand that he alone is the Savior of the world. And Father, we're asking you to save anybody under the sound of my voice, whether they hear me in this room or through the internet or however they happen to hear me on the radio, wherever they hear my weak voice, that the power of your gospel would penetrate their lives and they would know that you love them with an everlasting love, that you gave your son in order that they might be free from sin. Father, help them to understand he defeated the grave. He alone, no one else has done that. All the other so-called religious leaders are in the dust, waiting on his judgment and his kingdom. But he is the one that got up with all power in his hand and said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all the nations. Help them to understand that you love them and gave your son, and that is the only way they can be right. We want to be black and white clear, Lord, but we ask you to give them faith right now, to believe that you raised your son from the dead so that they may be saved. We thank you right now, Lord, for this season. Thank you for everybody in the room under the sound of my voice. Thank you for blessing us, oh God, and keeping us. And we ask you, let us have a safe and just a powerful season this Christmas season, Father, as we celebrate his first advent. Make us all ready in our minds for the second advent so that we can be prepared when he splits the sky. He says, come up here. We want to be ready to go, Father. We give you the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. The whole church said together, amen. Amen. Give God a hand praise. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 So we hope that everyone under the sound of my voice is saved. If you're not sure, we ask you to make sure today before you leave that you are in the family of God. There's only two families in all the earth. That's the family of Adam and the family of God. And Jesus said you have to be born into either one. You're born into the family of Adam. You come in one by one. Same way you are born into the kingdom of God. You must come one by one. Amen. And if you believe, that's because God has given you faith from above. Amen. That's to be born from above. And you can be saved. God wants you saved. That's why you let the church remain in the world to proclaim the good news.
Yes.
Amen. And it's good news. That's why I wonder why people resist so often. Why do we resist? Why don't we just rush right in? See? But the scripture does say, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh, that's in Adam, is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not. Don't let that blow your mind, Jesus said to Nicodemus. Amen. So we have done as God commands. Also, the door is open for church membership. We like to say that we accept a member by letter or candidate for baptism. We have some people who still are yet to be scheduled for baptism. We'll try to take care of that pretty soon. Yeah. Amen. If you're here and you know we are trying to get you together for that. Amen. We have done as God